Well, spring day today, and God is doing great things. Are you excited about what God is doing in your life? Is anybody happy with what God's working in your life right now? Is anybody glad with the work that God is doing in your life? Anybody in the house becoming what God has called you to become, and you're growing, and you look back, and you know, my, I'm not the same person I was, and God's building me. Anybody happy with what He's doing in your family? And in ministry. Well, praise God. Praise God. So good to see your smiling face on a Wednesday night. Tonight we're going to continue with our study in Daniel. And we're going to take a look at Daniel chapter 10. Which is really the setup and the breakthrough for chapter 11. We're not going to spend much time at all on chapter 11. Because it's just about the emergence of the Grecian kingdoms under Alexander and the Seleucids and the Ptolemies. And it's a lot of very, very particular history, but not very relevant to us. Not as much as Daniel's 70 weeks or this particular passage or the great image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in chapter 2. And so we're going to spend a little time on 10 and then leapfrog over to chapter 12, if that's okay with you. Now, if you have a riot and start throwing songbooks and everything, that's why we got rid of the songbooks, by the way. Let's just start with Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. God bless you. You can be seated. And let's give God praise and thanks for His word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, O God, and give you thanks and praise your name for your word. For the truth of it. For the power of it, O God. For the great deliverance that comes by your word. Praise God. Well, and truly we're excited about what God is doing. What a marvelous invasion of the Holy Ghost again this past Sunday evening. And God's just breaking in on us. And it's characteristic of the fact that somebody's got a prayer life going. And somebody's got a life of consecration. And someone is in covenant with God. And someone is open to God and is seeking God's face. Because God just doesn't show up everywhere. And that's relevant to what we're dealing with here tonight. Thank you, Sister Lisa and Sister Ashley, for providing the calendar for us. And your new April calendar is out in the foyer on your way out tonight. You can pick one up. Let's just take a look at the first part of this 10th chapter. Daniel receives a vision. And again, this drops back to Cyrus, king of Persia. These events now are not chronological, but he prefaces with a time stamp at the beginning of each of these incidents. And Daniel has a vision, but it was appointed to a time long away from where he is on the timeline of God. In chapter 12, the angel's just going to rudely tell him, well, Daniel, you're going to die. And this will happen a long time after your time. And it's not quite as coarse as that, but that's about what it meant. So he has a vision and he understands the vision. Now he gives you the understanding of how the vision came. In verse 2, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. He was in a time of consecration and a time of fasting. Verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled, or roughly 21 days. This doesn't mean that he went on a total fast. He explains it to you here. This is pretty much a bread and water fast, or something similar to that. No flesh, no wine, no pleasant bread. He wasn't going down to Buongiorno's and getting bruschetta. He wasn't having pizza. He was just having the crust. He was eating bread and water or something like that. And there are many, many different types of fasting. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on that tonight as far as how you fast. But we are going to talk about what fasting does. And then in the 4 and 20th day of the first first month as I was by the side of the great river, which is called Hidekel. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like the beryl, his face as the face of the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And he knew that it wasn't just some normal guy. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them. They felt the terror of God, but they didn't feel the vision or see the vision. So they fled to hide themselves. Verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. He fainted. He passed out. He just turned to water. Verse 9, yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, or a man that is treasured of God, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. And then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Everybody say, he came because of Daniel's words. He was there because Daniel was there. He was there because Daniel was praying. He was there because the covenant was there. He was there because there was someone that was touching the process that opens a portal between heaven and earth. Now, heaven in the scripture is something that is an interesting study. It is the sky. That's the heavens. The clouds are in the heavens. It is the cosmos. That's heaven. The stars are in the heavens. And it is also that place where the spirits are, or where God and the angels dwell. How many of you have read where Paul is explaining in one of the latter chapters of 2 Corinthians that he knew a man once that has ascended into the third heaven and saw things which were not legal to report? And he's really talking about himself, and probably when he died under a pile of stones at a place called Lystra, and God raised him from the dead. But before he did, Paul got to look around in the heavenlies and saw things that were so remarkable that God literally crippled him in some way to keep his ego in check. Now, interesting study on the heavens. Let's go to John chapter 3. And let's go to verse 13. Dane Stipes, remarkable student from Moody, working the scriptures for us tonight, even though he wouldn't come up and get his award or be celebrated or have his photograph taken. He was working, and men are all about work. Okay. Now, Jesus says in verse 12, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Is it okay if we just do a little Bible study tonight? Okay. All right. And verse 13, no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now this answers a riddle from the Proverbs. The Proverbs riddle says who has ascended into heaven, who has descended, and who holds the creation in his hand, and who set the bounds of the waters. And after he describes what can only be God himself, he says, what is his name and what is his son's name, if you can tell? Now, here in this reading, Jesus is standing in the middle of Judea or Palestine with a guy named Nicodemus. And they're trying to talk about theology. And Nicodemus wants to talk about what he understands in theology. But Jesus takes him all the way back to the beginning and says, you must be born again. And this is where he tells him, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You can't get in. You haven't even started. There is no salvation. You're not even in the door. The door is Acts 2:38, repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's what he's telling. That's what he's telling Nicodemus here. And in 12, he says, if I've told you earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And then he gives him the answer to the riddle from Proverbs and literally identifies himself as the God of Israel by giving him that. But he makes an astounding statement. He says, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, and that's what he calls himself, even the Son of Man, which, everybody say, which is in heaven. Now, where was he standing? He was standing on the earth, but he tells you he's also in heaven. So I don't know exactly how that works. You know he's a man in his flesh, but he's also the God of creation in his spirit. And all the fullness of the Godhead was in him bodily. And to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And God was manifest in the flesh, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we understand the oneness of God. So he is God, and he's everywhere all at once, but Command Central is right there in Judea, and he's got a foot in the earth, and he's whatever a spirit has, he's got that out in heaven. Now, how many of you believe the angel of the Lord are encamped around about you? How many of you believe the scripture? Right. How many of you have ever seen an angel? Well, some of you think maybe that you have, okay? And it is a common experience in the Word of God. And so, all right, Kadarius, you help me tonight. You believe there are angels that came to church with you tonight. They don't hang out here in this building. They don't live here. But we know that they are encamped around the covenant people. So somebody's got Kadarius duty. The angel's saying, I am so tired of Taco Bell. No. But so the angel's with you, and he's with you now. I don't know if they stack their swords outside or they just hang around and wait on us to finish. I don't know exactly what they do. The Bible said they are ministering spirits sent to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. But you believe they're here. Do you see them? Do you hear them? Do you feel the brush of angels' wings? None of that? But you believe they're here. Well, where are they? I mean, if you don't see them or hear them or feel them, or where are they? They're in heaven. And heaven is not a geographical location. It's not a construct like you think in terms of distance and place and time. It's not like 10,000 light years hang a right at the Milky Way, three lights down at the Burger King. You go, and there's heaven. It's not like that. But it's right here. It's like you can be right here and in heaven. It's not geographical. It's not positional. It's dimensional. That's why they're all around us, and sometimes we do feel the brush of angels' wings. That's why the Spirit of God is with you wherever you are. And so these dimensions exist side by side. This business of, and that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, I'm right here in front of you, buddy, but I'm in heaven too. I've got it all in control. Praise God. So when that angel makes himself known to Daniel, he's emerging from the spirit or from heaven into the realm of the natural. And this is the record of God's word. From time to time, angels appear in the natural and they conduct business, like they kill 180,000 Assyrians, one angel. So when they show up, they're powerful. Well, praise God. Daniel is on a 21-day fast, and he is creating an opening, or if you would, a portal for traffic between that world you want to call the heavenlies and this natural existence that we know here as earth. And the reason the angel doesn't show up in China is because nobody's doing the business there. And the reason the Holy Ghost fell in this house Sunday night and it didn't fall down at the tire station is because there was nobody down at the tire station opening up the portal between the heavenlies and the earthly. Do you follow this? Are you getting this? God doesn't just show up anywhere. But when it says he inhabits the praises of his people, we're touching on something you might call a portal between the heavenly and the earthly. Praise God. And so as he's fasting and as he's praying, and Daniel's prayers are always for wisdom or for Judah or for someone else or to repent before God, Daniel prays great prayers. And he has this encounter. And he meets Gabriel that he's met before, but it causes him to fall on his face and lose all of his strength. Now, the people that were with him, they felt the terror of the presence, but they didn't see the vision. And, you know, it's like when you're in here worshiping and praising God on a Sunday night. Like last Sunday night, for example, these young people were praying for one another. There were folks weeping in the altar. People were getting the Holy Ghost in the service and praying for one another. Little children were praying for one another. And there were other people here that might as well have been made out of brick. And they don't get it. And they don't know what's wrong with you. And they can't understand it. But sometimes, when it really gets heated up in here in the spirit, even they begin to get the Holy Ghost heebie-jeebies. And they'll either go out back. We chase them out of here regularly. They've got to leave because they can't stand it in here. Or they've got to make their way down to an altar and conduct business with God. But these that were with Daniel didn't understand. They just felt the terror of this presence. The opening portion of Sproul's book on the holiness of God opens with an encounter with God in a little chapel. And he's explaining something that you have felt if you have a half-decent prayer life. It's one of those moments where you come to the church by yourself, or you're up at night prowling by yourself. Or you're in a solitary location, and then all of a sudden, God shows up. And without any invitation at all, or no idea about it, or no provocation other than what's happening in the spirit, your eyes just become fountains. And you just begin to, and you literally feel this fear settle down on you. I don't care how long you've been living for God, and you know he's your best friend, and you know he loves you, and you know that he's your savior, but the fear of the Lord comes down in a prayer room sometimes. Is there an amen? Can anybody identify with that? But we don't run from it. We just shake in it. Because I know when he comes to do good. I know when he comes to talk about things I need to know about. I know when he shows up that he wants to do business that's going to be for my good. Somebody say praise the Lord. But there is a part of me that's saying feet don't fail me now. There's a part of me that wants to run screaming out of the building. Because it's a sheer fear and terror that settles in. There's a part of my flesh that's not altogether subdued, and it just wants to get out of the presence of God. But I'm like, no, we're staying here. We're going to see what he says. We're going to get yourself down there. Let's hear what God has to say. The men that are with him, they don't understand it. They feel it, but they can't see it. It's invisible. It's intangible. But it emerges from the spiritual to the earthly. It emerges from the heavenly to the earthly. And when it does, men like Daniel, people like the prophets, folks like we're here Sunday and they receive the Holy Ghost, something heavenly begins to move on earth when somebody opens up a portal between those two worlds. Somebody say praise God. Sometimes it feels like wind. Has anybody ever felt the breath of the Holy Ghost move across a service? Sometimes in a big coliseum, you'll see it begin to move over here, and it's like a human wave, and they don't even know. Nobody's orchestrating it. It's just, whoa, it's happening. Whoa, it's coming across here. And people just involuntarily begin to praise and magnify God and respond to him. Sometimes it feels like, who turned on the air conditioner? Be talking to somebody and they'll, it's Holy Ghost. I can't explain it to your satisfaction. I can't do this in a lab report or give you an empirical proof on this. It's just something that you can't know unless you're ready to step over into the arena of faith. I'm talking to the church tonight. If you don't understand this, you're not going to understand it much better after we're done. But those that are already filled with the Holy Ghost, and those that know how to pray, and those that know what it's like to be touched by something from another world. Well, you're with me about now. Sometimes it's telepathic. Okay, let's do a psychological evaluation. How many of you hear from God? I mean, you literally hear from God. You fail. How about over here? Anybody here hear from God? Yeah, you know that this will wreck your psychiatric evaluation. Anybody over here hear from God? Well, Sister Bonnie, what's it like? Yeah, but I mean, it's like you hear or you just kind of hear or what? God tells you things. It's like a voice. And it's a voice you know and recognize, don't you? Of all the cacophony of sounds around you and all the voices and all the talking heads and all the nonsense and all across the radio dial, when that voice happens in your heart or in your head or wherever it comes from, we recognize it, don't we? Like, yes, sir. Tell me. Tell me about it. Sometimes it's telepathic. My wife and I blazing down a little country road one night, Brother Randy, in a 6-cylinder Maverick. Well, it wasn't really a Maverick. It was the Mercury version of that. It was a Comet, which is far better than a Maverick. Maverick's a cow. A Comet's a celestial object. We were flying. And these are little rural roads with great big ditches on either side. And sometimes they have markings on them. But I grew up riding my bike in that area. I mean, you know, I grew up there. I know them. I could go down them with my eyes closed. And I'm flying down this little road about 20 miles over the speed limit. Forgive me. Well, the speed limit was wrong. And it was just bad judgment on whoever posted that. And we're flying along, and I hear, stop! And so I stopped. I locked that hoss up. That big, heavy car just, whoa! Probably had one brake pad that was connecting there. And she's looking at me like, because she doesn't understand it. And we stop. And she's like, you know, when women get really flustered and they don't know exactly what's, they start hitting you. It's like, couldn't we talk about this? I mean, do we have to just, I mean, they just, So We stop. And she's like, what are you doing? And I said, didn't you hear that? We had stopped about 10 feet from the back of a big old red horse that was lying broadside in the road. And that little comet would have dug in, and I don't know what we would have done, but it wouldn't have been pretty. Something from another world said, these fools are about to kill themselves. The devil's killed a horse and put it in a road in front of them. I don't know how that all works, but I do know that an angel got right in my ear and said, stop the car! And I didn't have any choice to debate it or anything. It was just like, yes. My wife didn't hear it. It was telepathic. Not pathologic, telepathic. Anybody here ever hear from God? I don't think it was an audible voice. It sure sounded audible to me. And it sure saved my bacon. And I sure am glad that there was a portal open. And I sure am glad that God still speaks to us and helps us. Sometimes it's like a breath of wind. Sometimes it's a still small voice. Sometimes it's a shout. But it's always because there's a portal open. Somebody say portal. Daniel, in the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, has opened a portal of prayer. There is a portal open because of the covenant. Turn to your neighbor and say, the covenant opens a portal. When we're reading in Genesis about Jacob, when he's leaving the home that he's been raised in, and he's making his way to Laban's house in Haran, he stops overnight at a place that from then on will be called Bethel. And while he's there, there is a ladder ascending and descending into heaven. There is a ladder and angels are on it, ascending and descending. And Jacob makes the mistake of thinking that he's in a dreadful, terrible place that is the house of God. This is none other than the door of heaven. But he was wrong. Somebody tell me, why was the ladder there? Why were the angels there? Because Jacob is there. Because Jacob is the covenant man. And wherever the covenant man is, the ladder of God is there. And there's an ascending and a descending on it. Wherever you are, if you're in trouble, the ladder is there. If you're in a place of need, the ladder is there. Just because you're a Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled apostolic child of God, there is a ladder there. And if you would, it is a portal between heaven and earth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, we use this sequence of scripture quite often, but I want you to notice in Revelation chapter 8, I want you to notice what's happening on that ladder and what's the manner of communication there. Revelation chapter 8, and there's a picture of what happens when you pray. And verse 3, Revelation 8 and 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. Tell your neighbor, an angel's taking your prayer into the presence of God. Upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God. Everyone say, out of the angel's hand. So then an angel delivers, is it like a mailman? I can't tell you exactly how this works, but I do know there's an angelic activity that's connected to your prayer. And when you're praying, there is an angel that's taking that communication into the presence of God and putting it on an altar. And it comes up with the incense before God. But it's not a one-way street. Verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire off of God's altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. I don't know if you need a thunder. I don't know if you need a lightning or an earthquake, but I do know that God answers prayer, and prayer opens up the portal, and the covenant opens up the portal, and there is an exchange, a communication, a line of commerce from one world unto another world. I don't know about you, but I need to hear from God. I need God moving in my home. I need God moving in my life. I've got a week coming up. I need God to meet me in that week that's coming. I don't want to walk out in the middle of another week all by myself, but I want God in the middle of it. God begins to break in, and angels begin to move, and miracles begin to be dispensed by portals that are open. Listen to me. It doesn't just happen anywhere. It's just like the ladder. The ladder's not 5 miles down the road. The ladder is where you are. Revival doesn't just happen anywhere. Revival happens where there's a portal open between heaven and earth. There's people running. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost didn't happen in a lot of places this Sunday morning or this Sunday night. Why is that? It's because of a lot of reasons. There's theology at the base of it. But I can tell you this. There was no opening of the portal. And so there was no commerce between the heavenly and the earthly. I need what is in heaven to come and visit me here on this earth. I need it in my body. I need it in my mind. I need it in my children. I need it in this church. Anybody need a miracle? Anybody need a healing? Anybody need provision? Anybody need an answer? Anybody need direction? There's a portal. But it doesn't just open anywhere. It doesn't just happen anywhere. Prayer and the covenant open the portal. Praise opens the portal. God inhabits the praises of his people. In our stock Bible study outline, we use 1 Samuel 16. And Saul is visited by an evil spirit from the Lord. Everybody say an evil spirit from the Lord. But they seek. The servants tell Saul, you need somebody in here that can really worship the Lord. And they said, well, Sister Bonnie's not going to be born for another several thousands of years. What will we do? They said, well, there's a kid by the name of David down at Jesse's house. He'll do. So they brought David in. And David began to worship God. And the demon had to leave. Now, when we teach this in prayer, and we teach it in the origin of evil, we simply talk about these two things. One, the evil spirit was from the Lord. Two, that praise and worship clears the house. But the dynamics of that praise and worship clearing the house works like this. When you begin to praise and worship, that demon lives here. That demon parades in this earth. Satan is the god of this world. And demons are fallen angels. But when some child of God begins to pray and magnify and worship God, a portal begins to open and big old angels begin to step down in that place. And that demon knows I'm outnumbered, I'm outgunned, and I'm out of here. Somebody say praise the Lord. Why does the demon leave? He's not afraid of David. He's not afraid of his harp. He's afraid of those that walk with David and what David has the power to call down. You're not great. You hear me? You're not great. Yeah, but you're not great. Not in this business we're talking about. You couldn't handle a demon. You couldn't handle the devil's left little toe. You couldn't handle the smoke and brimstone from his passing. You couldn't handle any of that. You're not great. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm not great. But tell him, greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. My God, I'm not so hot, but I've got connections. I may not have the power, but it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. My God, I've got a ladder with angels coming up and down on it. I've got a door and a window, a portal. I don't know how it works, but I know that something from heaven
comes down to where I am. Well, praise God. Praise God. When Jehoshaphat sends out the choir, the Bible says that God sets ambushments against the enemy and kills them all before it's over with. What kind of ambushments? Who came down? Who is there? David is about to go into battle like he has numerous times before. But God says, hold on here this time. He says, wait, David, until you hear the sound of a going forth in the top of these mulberry trees. Because the army that's coming and the soldiers that are coming, they don't walk on the ground like you do. They just kind of parade through the air. And they're going to be stepping on the top branches of those mulberry trees as they come by your position. And when you hear that, go ahead, full steam ahead. Because you've got an angelic host moving with you into this place of battle. My God, I don't want to walk into this by myself. I don't want to tie up with these things all by myself. I want angels moving on every hand. I want God moving in my life. I want the ladder of God like an escalator. I want it moving, coming, and going. Praise God. The creation emerged by the spoken word. The Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep, and God said... Everybody say, God said. And what began to happen? Well, all of creation began to happen. God said the spoken word. And then, now where did all this natural stuff come from? What was first? In the beginning, God. And God, you're right, just wrong book. In the beginning, God. And God is, John 4:24. A spirit. God's a spirit. So everything that's natural, the earth, everything alive on it, inanimate objects, everything that is in or dwells in the natural world came forth from the Spirit of God. Spirit is primary then, and all of natural creation is secondary. How did these things emerge out of the Spirit? By the spoken word of God. And God said, let there be. And there was. And God said, and there was sun, moon, and stars. And God said, and there was fish in the sea. And there was dry land. And there was. And so things emerged from the Spirit at the spoken word. Everybody say the spoken word. The incarnation happened by prophecy. God brought forth his son in the fullness of time. What was that criteria? How did God bring forth his son, born of a woman, made under the law? Well, he started back in Genesis 3:15. One day, the woman's going to have a seed. And that seed's going to put his heel on the head of the serpent. And then he gives you the script in Psalms 22 for what's going to happen at the cross. And Isaiah 53 tells you about the Lamb of God who takes on the sins and the iniquities of the world. What is all that about? That is the spoken word of God that creates the construct and the framework. The deed is already done. The thing is already set in motion by the word of God thousands of years before. And when it comes down to that specific time, because God already gave it by prophecy. We looked at it last time. In Daniel 70 weeks, there is a structured time frame for the coming forth of the Messiah. And for his crucifixion. How does that happen? That happens by the spoken word of God. Everything from heaven that moves in this earth comes either by prophecy or by prayer. Everything that moves in this earth that came from heaven either comes by prophecy or by prayer. Now, there are things about to break loose in this city. But they're going to break loose not out of silence. And not out of foolish talking. And not out of discussions about worldly and earthly things. What's going to bring forth things that have never existed in a spiritual construct in this city before? What's going to bring that forth? What brought forth a worshiping apostolic church right here on this spot where when we first came here, there was fighting roosters in a wetland right here where you're sitting. And it wasn't a church, and you weren't here. What brought all this in? What happened here? How did this develop? Where did it come from? Two things. Prayer and prophecy. Prophecy is sometimes forth-telling, like what's going to happen later. Sometimes it's just preaching. Have you read where when they got the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues and... And where Joel said, in the last days saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. What are you doing when you're talking in tongues? What are you prophesying? What are you prophesying when you're talking? Did you talk in tongues today? You did. What'd you say? Joel said you were prophesying. What did you prophesy? Cadillacs! Oh no, they're going out of business. Lexus! What did you prophesy? I don't know. Well, where did that come from? Came from the Holy Ghost. So what do you think the Holy Ghost was prophesying? Something that God does not want? I think I'm going to prophesy all the things I don't want to happen. You think that's how God operates? So what do you think? Now, you're a college-educated person. I know you can do this. And I appreciate you helping me. So what do you think God is prophesying? Things that he wants. What does God want? What does God want? For your life. What does God want for this city? What does God want for this region? What does God want for this church? My God. It's amazing to me that there are actually people on earth who don't pray. It's amazing. Because what you say when you don't pray is, I got it. I'll call you if I need you. Now, down at the ICU, you'll pray. You'll need a portal, and you'll know you need a portal. When your car's out of control and you're doing this number down the interstate, you'll pray. I can just tell you. You're not going to be saying, that's okay, I got it, I got it. It won't be an intelligible prayer. It'll just be, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You won't even be holding the steering wheel. You'll just be slapping yourself. Because your wife's not there to slap you. You'll just be slapping yourself. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. That is a kind of prayer. But that's not really a portal opening prayer. It's amazing that people don't pray. Because what happens when you pray? What happens when you prophesy? Portal opens. Commerce begins. Things begin to be established in the earth that cannot be established but by prayer and by prophecy. That's why Paul said, I thank my God. I talk in tongues more than all of you. He was in a place where he was trying to establish some construct and some regulations on tongue talking. And in that wild atmosphere, he said, I talk in tongues more than all of you. What did he know? What was he utilizing? What was he implementing? He knew. Romans chapter 8. We know not what to pray for as we ought. Everybody say, I know not what to pray for as I ought. Why is that? Why you don't know what to pray for as you ought? She's got the answer. She doesn't know what all God wants to do. Do you see all the people? Do you know all the works? Do you know the... How many of you knew that wasn't a lemon Sunday night? But can there be a lemon that size? And I'm not talking about lemons and lemon juice. I'm talking about apostolic revival and the fruit of what God wants to do. Can't. You not only don't know what God wants to do, you can't see the enormity of what God wants to do. Not only in this church, but in your home and in your life and in your ministry and in your family and in your babies. Somebody say praise the Lord. Daniel opened up a portal and Daniel had a visitation and the angel's going to bring him something that's going to happen long after he's dead. But Daniel causes it to break forth. Daniel causes it to be loosed in the earth. Chances are really good that your children will outlive you. Insurance statistics and all that. What kind of world, what kind of experience do you want them to have? What kind of life do you, what kind of breath of God do you want them to have in their lives? Praise God. Can I, do I have the capacity to create something and cause something to begin to move that's going to reach out far beyond my capacity even to live? Daniel did it. Daniel had a portal opened and the angel brought him a word. He was going to be long dead by the time those things began to take place. It had nothing to do with him, but he was being used by God to implement and inaugurate things in the earth that would reach beyond his temporal or his natural life. Somebody say praise the Lord. I've got to quit. Maybe we'll work on this a little bit more as we go. Let's stand. Let's come down around the altar tonight. How about that? Don't think too hard about where this comes from. Because I think there's a really good chance that you may literally be the portal. Because the kingdom of heaven is in you. And the river of living water is in you. And the well that's springing up to everlasting life, it's in you. Somebody say praise God. I want you to begin to just right now, somebody let that living water, let that well begin to spring up a little bit right now in the altar. Hallelujah. Take somebody's hand by you, lay your hand on somebody. Just continue to praise. Continue to pray. Continue to press. When you're praying in that heavenly language, you're setting forth things that you don't even know about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the name above everything. Somebody begin to pray it with authority. Begin to speak it forth with authority. Somebody open a portal. Let's press just a little bit further. Can we just press into this just a little bit further? Praise the Lord. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name tonight.